to render to each that which is his due. Thanks in return for a benefit and retribution, or at any rate ill will, in return for an injury. This, I say, will be true when it is one man who has inflicted the injury and a different man who has conferred the benefit. For if it is the same man, the force of the injury is nullified by the benefit conferred. Indeed, a man who ought to be pardoned, even though there were no good deeds credited to him in the past, should receive something more than mere leniency if he commits a wrong when he has a benefit to his credit. I do not set an equal value on benefits and injuries. I reckon a benefit at a higher rate than an injury. Not all grateful persons know what it involves to be in debt for a benefit. Even a thoughtless, crude fellow, one of the common herd, may know, especially soon after he has received the gift. But he does not know how deeply he stands in debt therefor. Only the wise man knows exactly what value should be put upon everything. For the fool whom I just mentioned, no matter how good his intentions may be, either pays less than he owes, or pays it at the wrong time or the wrong place. That for which he should make return, he wastes and loses. There is a marvelously accurate phraseology applied to certain subjects, a long-established terminology which indicates certain acts by means of symbols that are most efficient and that serve to outline men's duties. We are, as you know, wont to speak thus. A has made a return for the favor bestowed by B. Making a return means handing over of your own accord that which you owe. We do not say, he has paid back the favor. For payback is used of a man upon whom a demand for payment is made, of those who pay against their will, of those who pay under any circumstances whatsoever, and of those who pay through a third party. We do not say, he has restored the benefit or settled it. We have never been satisfied with a word which applies properly to a debt of money. Making a return means offering something to him from whom you have received something. The phrase implies a voluntary return. He who has made such a return has served the writ upon himself. The wise man will inquire in his own mind into all the circumstances, how much he has received, from whom, when, where, how. And so we declare that none but the wise man knows how to make return for a favor. Moreover, none but the wise man knows how to confer a benefit. That man, I mean, who enjoys the giving more than the recipient enjoys the receiving. Now, some person will reckon this remark as one of the generally surprising statements such as we Stoics are wont to make, and such as the Greeks call paradoxes, and will say, do you maintain, then, that only the wise man knows how to return a favor? Do you maintain that no one else knows how to make restoration to a creditor for a debt, or on buying a commodity to pay full value to the seller? In order not to bring any odium upon myself, let me tell you that Epicurus says the same thing. At any rate, Metrodorus remarks that only the wise man knows how to return a favor. Again, the objector mentioned above wonders at our saying, "The wise man alone knows how to love. The wise man alone is a real friend." And yet, it is a part of love and friendship to return favors. Nay, further, it is an ordinary act and happens more frequently than real friendship. Again, this same objector wonders at our saying, "There is no loyalty except in the wise man." Just as if he himself does not say the same thing. Or, do you think that there is any loyalty in him who does not know how to return a favor? These men, accordingly, should cease to discredit us, just as if we were uttering an impossible boast. They should understand that the essence of honor resides in the wise man, while among the crowd we find only the ghost and the semblance of honor. None but the wise man knows how to return a favor. Even a fool can return it in proportion to his knowledge and his power. His fault would be a lack of knowledge rather than a lack of will or desire. To will does not come by teaching. The wise man will compare all things with one another, for the very same object becomes greater or smaller according to the time, the place, and the cause. Often, the riches that are spent in profusion upon a palace cannot accomplish as much as 1,000 denarii given at the right time. Now, it makes a great deal of difference whether you give outright or come to a man's assistance, whether your generosity saves him or sets him up in life. Often the gift is small, but the consequences great. And what a distinction do you imagine there is between taking something which one lacks, something which was offered, and receiving a benefit in order to confer one in return? But we should not slip back into the subject which we have already sufficiently investigated. In this balancing of benefits and injuries, the good man will, to be sure, judge with the highest degree of fairness, but he will incline towards the side of the benefit. He will turn more readily in this direction. Moreover, in affairs of this kind, the person concerned